Insured Nomads proudly supports the New Nomad podcast. Insured Nomads, for the evolution of insurance, for the revolution of travel. For all your travel, medical, and support needs, please visit our website at insurednomads.com. We support our location-independent community worldwide.
Welcome to the New Nomad podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Thank you for joining us today. Our friends in the digital nomad remote worker community, Desmond Dixon is joining us, somebody who's campfirecapitalism.com, somebody traveling the world, somebody who's built sales teams. Once again, we're going to have a great conversation today. I think what's really interesting about when I talk to Desmond is both of us have run sales teams at different times, and it's really difficult asynchronously. There's people all around the world. There's groups of people, types of people. We're going to compare some notes today. So I'm going to bring Desmond right into the conversation. Desmond, I know you've traveled about. We've talked a little bit offline about your travels to Thailand, going to Madeira and other places. Why don't you share with some people, the people out there that are excited about starting their own journey, your journey, and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so I'll give you guys a quick elevator story. Back in the high school, I was invited to a science fair in Istanbul, Turkey, to do international science fair. And when I went there and I got to experience all these different cultures, there was like 70-something countries there. It blew my mind at the possibilities because I was just this kid from the inner cities of Dayton, Ohio at the time. And so that really created this spark, this interest. And when I got a contract for a company to go work and for startups and agencies out in the Ukraine in Kiev for 3 months, I got to work out there remotely and do business all over the world while still in Kiev with the teams there. And that really created even more curiosity. So when I got back, at the time I was living in California, I had itchy feet and I wanted to explore more things. And at that moment, I made a decision like, okay, it's time to go travel the world. Yeah, so I put the stuff in storage, sold some things. It was obviously like you had this fear of, oh, but what if? My curiosity was more powerful than my fear. And we started the journey off in Hawaii first. That's a fun place to start your digital nomad journey. And then went to Colombia. From Colombia, went to Greece. From Greece, went to Montenegro, which was an amazing place. And then Italy, then Bali, now Thailand, and the adventure continues. A bunch of cool places for next year.
I love that comment. Curiosity trumps fear in this conversation. And one of the things about your travels, and you mentioned some unique places, and I loved Kiev. Certainly, you were there before the war, and I've been there too. And it's just like, the people are wonderful. And so when you started this journey and you were curious, how did you pick out your next destination? And how did you feel comfortable right away and build some community? Because that's the question we get all the time. Do you have some tips for our audience?
Oh, yeah. I have another funny story. So I'm traveling with my girlfriend, right? And so you have two different people who have two different she wants more beaches. I like beaches too, but we always live by a beach living in San Diego. So I'm pretty much wanted to go on the unbeaten path. And this one moment we're in Colombia, we were there for about 2 months. We're like, where should we go next? And we're like, let's open up a map. So we just opened up Google Maps and was like, what's this country? What's this country? What's this country? And then we started watching YouTube videos and blogs. That's awesome. Then we found Montenegro. We're like, yo, what is this place, Montenegro? Let's go to Greece first, then Montenegro. So we just opened up a map, and we do that a lot to find like what our next destination is going to be. So we look up a map, then we look at the weather. Then after the weather, we look at, okay, what's walkability? Like, how is it? Can you go on adventures from this place? What city should we live in? And that's how we pick our destinations while we travel. We have a nice little list of places for the seasons. And then for the community aspect, man, I think this is super important. The first 6 months, I was still like, even though I was on the road, my heart and my mind was still in the United States. And so I was doing a lot of networking still in the United States online, especially through the podcast. And then I had this realization that I should be networking with other digital nomads online and also in real life. Yeah. But we started picking destinations where our digital nomads go because we were going to like Kotor, Budva, like very off the beaten paths where there's not a lot of expats or digital nomads. So we started picking places where there's a bunch of digital nomads. And then I started being very intentional with connecting with at least 20 digital nomads a day, which is how I met Andrew.
Yeah.
And then providing value to them. So I started connecting digital nomads together. So if I knew two people in the same city or in the same country, they didn't know each other, I would connect them together and they'll meet. And so I try to just be that source for digital nomads to connect with each other and also build my network around the world. That's how I...
That's interesting. Building community is one of the hardest things. And I have to commend you. I'll mention one thing about Montenegro too, is like you just picked it out on the map one time when we went to the Balkans. And there's like the most amazing canyon in Montenegro. It's like up there with the Grand Canyon. And you don't even know about these things until you get on the ground and you're sitting in a coffee shop and somebody says to you, hey, did you guys drive out a little ways and take a look at this? And you're like, this is the great thing about community, because community can direct you to somewhere that you would never have figured out. Have you run into experiences like that you've ambled upon stuff just because somebody's, hey, did you check this out?
All the time. I get most of my ideas, like, I won't say most, but one of my favorite questions to ask other digital nomads is like, what is your favorite place and why? Very like visually, like from a culture, how to make, like, what made your heart feel good? And you just get these amazing responses like Iceland, Mongolia, or a very specific random destination, right? It's pretty incredible. But yeah, I love talking with other digital nomads because they can give you insights on places that aren't on the internet. That's pretty popular, if that makes sense.
So I want to zero in a little bit on your sales experiences too. You've run sales organizations, and I love when I was reading your LinkedIn page, how you actually started from door-to-door sales to being a sales leader. Share with some folks some of your journey and your tips on that, because everybody, whether you're, a salesperson in a traditional sense, everybody is selling in the sense, whether you're selling experiences or your friendship. I think there's a great book by, I think it was Daniel Pink, that Everybody Is in Sales, a book I read many years back. I'd love to hear your experiences because, you know, going from, listen, the hardest type of sales in the world, the door, to where you are today, had to be an incredible journey.
Yeah, full disclosure, I love telling this story. So my first sales job, I was doing chemical engineering in college, and I realized I didn't want to be a chemical engineer after doing like shooting rockets and all types of crazy stuff. And my buddies were going to Dallas, Texas to go knock on some doors. They was like, yo, Dez, you want to come with us this summer? And I was like, sure, I need to figure something out. Like, I don't want to be an engineer anymore. So I went and did door-to-door sales with some friends. We all lived in the corporate housing. It was like five of us in a little apartment in Dallas, Texas, knocking doors. And Alan, I probably knocked on 1,000 doors and got 1,000 doors slammed in my face. And I got fired halfway through that summer and kicked out of that corporate housing and then had to go live with an uncle I never met before.
Yeah.
And in those willows of that, I realized that I want to be a sales guy because I was so intrinsically curious about, like, how do these people connect with these people to sign contracts and get deals and trust? And it was the first time in my life, because I was an overachiever in my entire like school growing up, that I failed at something, like legit failed.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know why. And so at that moment, I knew I wanted to be a sales guy. And I applied for nothing but sales jobs in college, even though I got my chemical engineering degree. I took a $30,000-$40,000 pay cut to go work as a sales trainee, 2,000 miles away from my house in Denver, Colorado. And worked my way up, man. I did millions in sales a year, started from zero in an industry I didn't know anyone. And I learned the difference between when I failed the first time and when I actually got really successful at it was caring more about what the other person wants than what I want. So my come from door to door was, I need to make money. I want to make commission. I'm coming from a place of selfishness. And when I flipped it, I'm like, all I care about is helping this other person win, no matter how big or small. And being a guy that they can call for emergencies, being a guy that was a person of his word. I was connecting people, which I learned that it's powerful in all areas of your life. And that propelled me because I was not the smartest person in the industry, the most experienced person in the industry, but I was the person that was willing to go up and beyond for the client and help them win. And they felt that. And that's how I really got my foundation for sales.
You made the transition from the transactional salesperson to a consultative one where you understand what their need is and you bring them a solution, as opposed to the transactional one is almost the old used car salesman thing that I got this car and take that. And that's a great epiphany of sorts, isn't it? That how things are much better for all of us. And I think this is even the digital nomad community. The successful digital nomads that I run into are people who try to bring something better to not only the community they're in, but also the people that they serve, whether it's bringing stories back, et cetera. And I know you do some giving back too. As a matter of fact, you did a presentation for folks. Was it Staying Fully Booked? And you were giving some sales tips to folks. And certainly your podcast is also helpful to people. If you share a couple of your tips perhaps on staying fully booked or whatever you feel is beyond the consultative aspects of it that you think are important for somebody who's out there and says, digital nomad, I know I have to sell something, even if it's myself. How do you stay fully booked?
I'll give the game. I love giving the game. I'm gonna share some practical things that's backed by theory in a very concise way. So the first thing I speak to, I personally even roll thousands of businesses, entrepreneurs, from wholesale OEMs to online entrepreneurs to SaaS enterprises, just the whole gambit, right? And yeah. The pattern that I notice is, in order to be successful at sales, you need to be talking to people, and like you need to do it. And the thing is, you don't have to reach out to people to take from them. You can reach out to people about mutual interests. Like, for example, I'm traveling the world. So I reach out to other people who love to travel the world, who inspire to travel the world. And I just talk like that, like as if we're in a coffee shop. Yeah. And then I know that people are going to ask me, what do you do? Right. It's just a natural thing. It's like, how are you doing? It's a very natural thing that most people ask. What do you do is also natural when you don't know someone. You want to know more about that person. So just finding mutual interests and building your network that way. And then also connecting people, right? Being a source of community. So like, for instance, I'm here in Bangkok. I'm meeting up with someone later today for lunch. I'm meeting up with someone when I get back to Bangkok in a month from now. And then I'm going to coordinate a lunch where we all come together, four or five of us entrepreneurs who are traveling and build a community that way. So connecting people. Now, staying fully booked, I think that this is super, super important. And that is, I hate to say it, you probably hear this from a lot of entrepreneurs, but the niche is like so important. So like you can't serve everyone. And if you can't communicate to a specific person with a specific problem you solve, then how can people refer business your way? How will people know that you're a good fit if you serve everyone? So I think the more clear you are on who you serve, how you serve them will actually make you so much more money. And I think for me, it took me a while to realize that, because you have this fear of, what if I miss out on business?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What if it's that fear, but you got to create certainty that I serve these people with this particular offer. And then I'll give one last tip, some more game. The last piece of game I'll give, and I think this is super, super important, is called small wins theory. Okay. This is the real game. If you understand the customer journey, your goal is to serve that person, not to collect their money.
Yep.
If you can get in and become a linchpin into that organization or to that client where you're providing so much freaking value, the likelihood of them leaving is very unlikely. So what does that mean? How can you use that information to your advantage? For instance, I work with 50 to 150K contracts, 75K max. I'm not going to ask for someone $75,000 up front. I know the numbers. I know the process. Yeah. I'm going to get in with an easy win. Okay, how can I over deliver easy win and then capture revenue as we grow together, right? So just getting in, like that's how I did with corporate. Like I started with $15 orders, $20 orders, and they ballooned to $100,000 orders. So just like getting in, showing value, becoming irreplaceable, their go-to person, because most people will hire you so they hire you because of certainty and safety, not because you're the cheapest price or whatever.
Yes,
they hire you because you can get results. Yeah. So that's just something I wanted to share. That's how you stay fully booked. You don't lose clients.
Do you think from a personality type, is the type of person that you look for that you think do a great job of sales, do they tend to be more entrepreneurial? Do they tend to be more adventurous oriented? Is there an inherent communication? Is there a particular type? Because I just pick up with you, you feel to be somebody who's extroverted, outgoing, entrepreneurial, and adventurous, which are all the things you can look for. But I get a lot of folks to say that I'm not an extrovert, but I can still sell and I can still do things. What's your feeling? Is there a typing, or is it all everybody with the right technique can do a great job selling?
Yeah, this is a good question. So I think it comes out to a few things. I think the first thing is just discipline. So like you could be extrovert or introvert, but if you're not willing to do the things you don't feel like doing, because I hate to brood it to you, 80% of the time when I wake up, I'm on a third. I know today I'm a 14-hour day. Do you think I want to work 14 hours a day? No, I want to go have fun. I was just telling my girl, I was like, yeah, I want to go laser tagging, go to the movies. I want to go do all these things, but you got to have discipline. So I think discipline is a core thing to pick up the phone, make that call, send that follow-up, send that proposal, right? Be the person of your word, getting a piece of information back to a prospect or a client. So discipline is the first thing. And then the second thing I would have to say is active listening or empathetic listening. So like, how well can you understand what someone else is saying? Are you listening with the intention of looking for selective things to respond to? Or are you actually listening to that person? So I think active listening. And then the third thing I would say is, man, it's, I hate to say like heart, but it's like, what's your why? And now we're getting into some Simon Sinek, but you got to have a why behind why you're selling. Like, so certainty and like your intrinsic motivation. Because even when things are even really bad or really good, what's going to keep you going? Because I met sales guys who've made like a record month and then go on a cold spill because they didn't have a why to keep going, keep the momentum going. And the same is vice versa. They get a donut and now they don't have a why to push them through those valleys. So I think having a why is super important as well in sales to keep you motivated.
And that's always one of the tough things with sales. I ran a sales organization that we score kept it. That's been on a calendar year basis. So somebody could be really having a great year. And then there's then at 1-1 of the next year, you go back to zero again and have to refire it up. And it's there are some folks who just naturally drive all the time on that. And to your point, the folks that are always doing those calls, always doing the checking back. But I think you touched upon something really important is I think about it now that you mention it. The people that were most successful were the ones who were actually able to talk in the language of the buyer as opposed to I'm selling you something as opposed to I'm bringing a solution to your attention on that. And I think that's so powerful what you're talking about. Bringing a solution to your to people, is that one of the reasons you also wanted to start podcasting? Because I've looked at your podcast and really interesting and solution-oriented. If you could talk a little bit about your podcast and some of the things you'd like to help people with.
Yeah, sure. So I started the podcast, one, just because I was curious to learn different things and learn from really smart people, because mentorship and really smart people have helped me get to where I am today, from poverty in Dayton, Ohio, to traveling the world with independence. And so, yeah, I started the podcast to really the network as well while I travel and also learn and share. Like, all I care about is the guest. So, like, how can I get this person to give their zone of genius and make them look like a superstar? And how can I give a ton of value to people? So like, I don't pitch on my podcast. I don't sell any of my things. I really wanted to make about like them giving as much value as humanly possible and showing what's possible to other people. Because if my podcast helps one person, then like it's successful, right? Yeah. If it changes one person's life. So that was the goal of Campfire Capitalism. Like, how can I share the beauty of capitalism without saying the word capitalism? through stories and people giving value? Because I think that capitalism is pretty great, right? It's the reason why I'm traveling. It's the reason why we have enterprise today and so much possibilities in society. That was pretty much the ethos of why I started Campfire Capitalism.
It's interesting. We started this podcast. I started with very much the same intentions as you. And what I actually think is really interesting about it is it's very often, how rare is it to just sit down and have a great conversation with somebody or listen in on a great conversation? Because today we have so many distractions, right? And I think it's just great when I listen to a podcast like yours and you're interviewing somebody or a different one. And I'm just like, I'm eavesdropping on a conversation. I don't know where it's going to go, but it's really interesting on that. So I'm going to take you on a little diversion here that, so you're in Thailand, in Bangkok area. This is a bit of a travelogue. What's it like for digital nomads where you are today and where you're off to? So if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, hey, I'm looking for a place to go, how is it there for that community?
Yeah, so Bangkok seems to be like an in-between city for people. Like, I know a few people, some people stay for 3 to 4 months, but some people stay for like a week or a few days before they head to Phuket or Chiang Mai or Bali or another destination. So it's like a flyover city to a certain degree. Did I know a lot of digital nomads? Personally, I think it's a good balance between other areas in Southeast Asia that are popular, like Bali or Chiang Mai, where it's like very like jungle-like, very spread out. I like the city life a lot personally, like the public transportation, I like getting on trains, just something about it, the energy, because you can think. Personally, my favorite place around the world, though, as a digital nomad, even to this day, is Qatar, Montenegro. I know we brought up Montenegro, but
yeah.
It's just something about that place where it didn't matter. The sun was shining. It was fog. It was raining. that bay with the mountains and the clear water in the bay, calm water, was just like incredible. Like every day waking up to that, I just can't put words. Like it was like the coolest place I've ever experienced in my life. And you had the small town energy, like the cobblestone streets, the little alleyways, and the, oh man, it was just, the energy was amazing. So I'm a big fan of that. So yeah, that's my unbeaten path digital nomad tip. So go check it out for a couple of weeks and vibe in Montenegro. Highly recommend it. Underrated. Also,
I'm with you, because the trip I did the last big trip I did before the pandemic was into Dubrovnik, to Mostar, then to through Montenegro up to Kosovo, and then back through. And we did it by car, which is a unique experience in that area. And I loved the beauty of it, but I also the food. And to be honest with you, Desmond, did you get the feeling that people were like just surprised because they're not used to tons of tourists, especially Americans, and you could get into some great conversations? What was your feeling on the food and the people, et cetera, too, beyond the beauty of it?
Yeah, the people were like, they were interested in you, so to speak, right? Especially a lot of the workers. And like, I still talk to some of them on Instagram.
Yeah.
The food was very interesting, right? Like, it wasn't bad, but it was just different, right? You go to Italy. Yeah. After you go to Italy, though, like, it ruins food for it, because I think that place is like food heaven, but it was pretty decent. It's pretty affordable as well. I think Croatia really surprised me a lot with just the people. A lot of people from the UK go to Croatia, like Split and Var and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But Montenegro, just a ton of Russians and Ukrainians and people from East Europe. So not a lot of English speakers. And it's like this, like you're just in this beautiful place with this crystal clear water, mountains and beach clubs, nice restaurants, and everything's like a fraction of the price. It was just, it was insane to me that more digital nomads weren't there. So keep it a secret if you're listening to this.
I love it. We're gonna let another secret out. We're going to ask you the question that we ask all the guests on our podcast. Could you name an overlooked, well, we've hit a place, but a person, place, experience that you think the digital nomad community, and we'll pretend that Montenegro is not overlooked now because we've shared that earlier, that they should investigate, that if somebody had a magic carpet they could head off to, or a book they could read, or some sort of experience that you think is tremendous that would change people's lives?
Yeah, since we gave a lot about places, I'm going to give you a book because I love reading. And this book is probably the book I read the most, which is called The Go-Giver by Bob Berg. And if short read, I like audiobooks a lot. So it's a really good audiobook and story format, but it just really just changes the philosophy around what it means to be a go-giver and not a go-getter, right? Because we have this hustle culture, which is cool. But when you can provide value to other people around you, even to some of the people who considered your competition, man, the door is open for so many possibilities that you can't even calculate, right? So many blessings. Like it's like magic. So I highly recommend that book. And then after you read that book, pass it along to someone else. Keep the movement alive.
That's awesome. Think about this, is somebody who you might consider your competitor or one day could be your ally and partner the next in business or whatever. You just never know. And you're in a part of the world that there's a big belief in karma, and good karma you can create, right? By giving more than you're taking. I think that there's a big feel on that. So I'll look at the go-giver. I like that concept. Frankly, I love the idea of karma, especially good karma on that. So this is great catching up. Can you share with us where people can learn more about Desmond Dixon, Campfire Capitalism, your blog, and other things? And we'll make sure to our audience that we'll have that in the show notes. So you'll also be able to catch Desmond if you don't have your pen handy as he shares with us.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. I am Desmond Dixon. I just travel. I post travel stuff on there. I'm heavily on LinkedIn. I live on LinkedIn. So you can find me at Desmond Dixon or Desmond L. Dixon on LinkedIn. And then campfirecapitalism.com is the pod. The business is remotesalesmanager.io. Feel free to check us out. And if you have any questions about travel, anything, like I'm an open book, like literally slide into my DMs and say, hey, I heard you on the new Nomad podcast. Like I asked you some questions, or you want to jump on a call for 15 minutes. I'm more than willing to give you some value and help you out along your journey.
Desmond, the other thing I just want to bring up that I thought was great that you mentioned in some of your blogs is about consuming less and creating more. And obviously in this digital nomad culture, we want to come into other people's communities and leave it a better place. I'd love your thought on that, because to me, I thought that was tremendous comment on things. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So, man, like I think this is what really sparked the a little bit like intrinsically with the travel thing, where it's like, I don't need a bunch of things. And when I remove that that focus from, I need to consume like material things, or I need to read every single book or watch every single video, and just really just stick to creating, how can I create value for people around me? How can I create interesting experiences that just allow life to just slow down and be more fun, right? Like creating, creating value, creating experiences, and not consuming experiences and consuming things, right? That's a little about that philosophy. So if you find yourself in analysis paralysis, or like in obsession mode, or your mind is, it's always, oh, I need this thing, I need this, I need that, just take a step back and smell the roses, and like, how can you create value for other people and create great experiences for yourself and the people around you? So that's a little bit about that philosophy.
I once heard a wise man say that if you have too much stuff, starts to own you. And what I love in this digital nomad community is the experiences are more important than the stuff. And if you got too much stuff, you can't move as quickly, whether you're a slow mad, a nomad, or somebody who's running about. Maybe last question for you is, when you travel, is it down to a science? You're packing up and you're going and moving to a different spot. Is it that second nature right now that it's pretty simple just to go visit somewhere else?
Yeah, so I do bases. So I'll stick in a country, like in a city, for 2 to 4 months, because I still have 2 suitcases of stuff.
Sure.
And I travel out of a backpack from there to weekend destinations. So I work hard, go hard during the week. And then like Friday hits, I'm like on the road or on a going a little getaway somewhere else. So that's my strategy, is find a base and then travel that region or that country. And that works out really well for me. Yeah.
You know what I love about the conversations like this is, and this is what, back to your comment about active listening, you mentioned that you grew up in Dayton. A lot of people in the United States, or visit, folks listening to this podcast, or foreign nationals who come to the U.S., they say, what, Dayton? Dayton's got one of the best air museums in the United States. They got a beautiful street called Oregon Avenue area where there's great restaurants. And it just makes me think that wherever you go, Desmond, right, you could find something good to do. It's wonderful people. It doesn't have to be a big fancy place, whether it's Dayton or Montenegro, or wherever. It's exactly getting into the firmament out there.
Exactly. It's beauty. It's all a surprise. That's what makes it all awesome.
That's great. To our digital nomad listeners, thank you for listening today. We want you to travel well. We'll have Desmond's information in the show notes. I certainly took a few notes, and I really enjoyed his comment. Curiosity more than fear. I love that. That's almost a fantastic tagline. Desmond, you might want to trademark that, by the way. It's tremendous on that. But thank you all for listening. We hope you all continue to travel safely. And once again, thank you for listening to The New Nomad. Our listening audience grows one by one. If you like this podcast, please tell another. Pass it along. Have a great and productive day. Cheers.
Insured Nomads proudly supports The New Nomad podcast. Insured Nomads, for the evolution of insurance, for the revolution of travel. For all your travel, medical, and support needs, please visit our website at insurednomads.com. We support our location-independent community worldwide.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.